It's time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, a program heard every Tuesday at this time, where we talk to Amber Boyens from the Synapse Center for Health and Healing concerning a variety of topics dealing with health and nutrition. And Amber, today we're going to be talking about food allergies.
Yeah, food allergies.
Yeah, something that a lot of people are dealing with these days.
They are, and we'll talk a little bit about kind of how much it's increased, but this one's a little personal here, too.
Yes, you have couple of kids who do have some food allergies, so you know all about this subject.
I sure do. So I know about it from a professional standpoint. I work with people often who have food allergies and also kind of live the whole life of food allergies. So I've learned, especially having a child with food allergies, that it's not something a lot of people know much about. So I thought today we could just kind of share a little bit of information about it, kind of let people know what sort of things to maybe look for. Okay. For a food allergy and just kind of what they are.
All right. Well, take it away.
Yeah. So food allergies have been one of those things that have kind of been a joke lately. And a lot of that's because so many people electively avoid foods. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with electively avoiding something because you feel like it doesn't make you feel well, or you feel like it's not a healthy option or something like that. But there's definitely a difference between avoiding a food because it's unhealthy or you don't like it, and avoiding food because you have an allergy to it. So because we have so many people who avoid foods for different reasons, oftentimes, like for example, when we go to a restaurant, we have to ask a lot about, you know, what does this contain? And a lot of answers we get will be things like, well, it probably doesn't contain milk. Okay, great. Well, I'm going to need you to check the package on that.
A little more certain answer than
yes,
that.
Yes. So it's not a matter of just not wanting to eat it. It's a matter of not being able to. So like you mentioned, a lot of people are experiencing this, and about 32 million Americans have a food allergy of some sort. And 5.6 million of those are children. So that comes out to be roughly 1 in 10 adults and about 1 in 13 kids. So typically, food allergies are diagnosed in childhood, but really they can come on at any time. So we know a couple of people who have had allergies to things like celery or shrimp diagnosed later in life. And shrimp or fish is one of those allergies that you tend to not grow out of. So some of the others, the 8 major allergens are milk, egg, peanut, tree nut, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. Often the milk, egg, soy allergies, those tend to get diagnosed pretty young. Often in infants when they're starting breastfeeding or formula is when some of the symptoms will arise there. Those, typically, it's been believed that what we've seen is that most kids or many kids will grow out of that. But we're seeing now, more recently, that it's taking kids longer to grow out of them. So people used to feel like by about age 5, most of those allergies would be gone. But now we're seeing that they tend to linger a little bit longer than they used to. You know, there's a lot of theories out there. One of the big theories that definitely has some level of truth in it is gut health. So we've talked about that in so many of our different topics. But when it comes back down to gut health, if gut health is off, that can impact how we react to food, but it also impacts our immune system. So our gut is really the center of our immune system. And one of the beliefs, there's a theory, and it's just that. It's a theory called the hygiene theory. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have not. I've heard of hygiene, but never the hygiene theory.
Well, yes. And it goes right hand in hand. So the hygiene theory is a theory that allergies are increasing, or certain conditions are increasing, because we're too hygienic, essentially, that we're not getting exposed to enough things. So our gut doesn't get as strong. Our immune system doesn't get as strong. And while there may be some truth in that, it's very important that people continue to wash their hands. So we don't want to get rid of like sanitation, hand washing, those things that we do that truly keep us healthy. But there is thought that because we just have so many different things that maybe we're getting exposed to less. It's hard to know, though, why there are an increasing number of food allergies. Some of it is just better diagnostics, right? So sometimes we just do a better job of identifying them. It may have been previously, if it seemed like a child didn't do well with a certain formula, you just switched to a different formula and you never tested because it didn't seem necessary, right?
Well, it seems like when I was a kid growing up, I didn't know anybody who had food allergies. In fact,
absolutely.
Until last very recent years was not I even heard of anybody having a food allergy.
So even between 1997 and 2011, so not too long ago, there was a 50% increase in food allergies in children. And between 1997 and 2008, peanut or tree nuts specifically tripled in children. So it's certainly a much larger number that we're aware of, at least. And as a dietitian, food allergies are just something that we talk about a lot. It's something that I'm pretty aware of that I kind of have just seen as fact. And I didn't realize until recently that food allergies, up until some of the more recent years, were really not even acknowledged by a lot of health professionals. So food allergies are one of those things that there's a lot of unknowns. We don't necessarily know a lot about why they develop. There's a lot of research there. We don't really know a lot about why they go away. There's a lot of research there too. And we don't necessarily know why there's kind of varying levels of severity. So take a kid with an egg allergy, for example. Some kids can't even come in contact with eggs or egg product. They can't eat anything that's made in a facility that also processes egg. Other children or adults may be able to tolerate egg if it's baked into something, like in a muffin, but they can't eat eggs themselves. There might be different levels of reaction. So maybe you just get a rash or some itching if you have it baked in something, but it's anaphylactic or vomiting, swelling, hives, all that kind of stuff if you have the egg itself. So there's so many unknowns within food allergies, but what we do know is that they can be fatal. So it can range, like I said, symptoms can range anywhere from being asymptomatic. So somebody could test positive for IgE or the immunoglobulin in their blood that reacts to a certain food and not have any symptoms with it. And again, we don't necessarily know why that is.
You talk about children having it and growing out of it and that kind of thing. Well, I can think of at least one instance of an adult who went out to eat one night and all of a sudden kind of had developed all kinds of problems and turned out to be seafood.
Absolutely.
And that was, and I guess they hadn't had any trouble in the past. So these things can come on all of a sudden too.
They certainly can. And that's one of the things that's changed too with how we introduce food into children, infants. It used to be this belief that we should do one food at a time and give that individual food, give peas 3 days, give green beans 3 days, give carrots 3 days. But what we're finding is that a child could have that allergic reaction on the fifth or sixth or seventh exposure to a food, or even further down the road into their 30s or 40s. So again, we don't necessarily know why the immune system reacts that way, but we know that it does. So one big thing that I always encourage people is if you do think that you or your child have a food allergy, it's always best to bring that up to your primary care provider and ideally see an allergist or get tested for it. So usually when they do testing for food allergies, they'll do a skin prick test first. So they'll like a scratch test, kind of see if you react that way. And then sometimes they'll do a blood test or confirm to see if you have that allergen in your blood or antibody set allergen in your blood. So the trick with especially kiddos and testing is that there's a high false positive rate. So often doctors or allergists won't do those skin prick tests in young kids unless there's already a suspected allergy to it, because we don't want kids to avoid foods unnecessarily. So it can be a little bit tricky to identify, but if you're noticing eczema and asthma go together often with food allergies. So if you're noticing eczema, if you're noticing asthma, if you're noticing hives or a lot of rashes or anything like that, it is certainly not always an allergen, but it's a good thing to bring up to your doctor.
Okay. And if you find out your child does have a food allergy, is there anything you can do besides avoiding that food to take care of it? Or is that basically it?
That's basically it. Now, there is some research coming out about oral intolerance tests. I think it's oral introduction. OIT is what it's called. And essentially what they do is they give, and this must be done with a doctor who is trained in doing it, not on your own at home. But they give micro levels of that allergen to try to sensitize the system and essentially make it not allergic anymore. And there has been some...
build an immunity.
Exactly, yeah. Some success with things like eggs, a little bit with peanuts, but it's certainly not a perfected science. It doesn't necessarily make the allergen go away. And again, I just want to emphasize, you should never do that at home.
All right. Well, good topic and something to hear a lot about these days.
Absolutely.
And if anybody has any more questions about it and how to take care of it or how to handle it, how to deal with it, you're more than happy to help.
Always, yes.
And your contact info.
Yep, you can get to me at online at officialsynapse, SYNAPSE.com. Fill out the little link for a discovery call or call us at the clinic at 651-209-9906.
And again, the Twin Cities location for the clinic, but you're located right out here in right Madison, here. Minnesota. So you're nearby and easy to get a hold of.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, we look forward to another Taco Tuesday next week, Amber. Amber Boyens from the Synapse Center for Health and Healing. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.